Archers, for the week of the 22nd to the 27th of August, 1999.
What do Jack and Jill think about Janet's innovation?
Excuse me. Thanks.
Oh. Hello, Jack. How nice to see you.
Oh, hello, Jill. I'm a bit late, I'm afraid. Mind if I join you?
Not at all.
Thanks. Oh, I do like Evensong.
So do I.
It's a lovely old service.
It is.
These new hymn books look very smart, don't they?
Yes, they do.
I'm afraid these new hymns aren't my cup of tea at all.
Shh.
Oh, sorry.
Nor mine. But as Janet said, we should try to appeal to both young and old. What do you think, Jack?
I suppose so. We mustn't be too set in our ways.
Phil's going to have to learn a lot of new tunes.
Oh, yes. I hadn't thought about that.
He won't really mind. He'll come round to it in the end. At least we know the first one, Lord of the Dance.
Oh, that's a relief.
Jack.
Hmm?
I bumped into Jenny this afternoon.
Oh, yes.
She said you'd been talking to Brian about the shoot.
Yes. Things are a bit awkward in that area at the moment.
She's worried that he's being too hard with you.
Oh, no, no, not at all. He's just trying to run his business in the best way he can.
But that means you may have to give it up.
I wouldn't say that yet. I'm still hoping to find another gamekeeper.
What happens if you don't?
Well, I'll think of something. We've always been an independent shoot. And I don't want us to lose our identity now. Oh, look, there's Janet. Mm.
Good evening, everybody. I'd like to welcome you all to St. Stephen's for Evensong. Today sees the first appearance of our new hymn books. I'll skip the speech about what a welcome addition they'll be to our services. I thought it best to begin by singing our first hymn from the new book, one with which I'm sure you're all familiar, Lord of the Dance.
At Shula and Mark lived here. I had no idea these flats had a garden.
Shula, that's your cousin, right?
Mm. Yeah, they were married, but he died in an accident.
Oh, poor Shula.
Yeah. They had a son, Daniel. He was born a few months later.
Well, that must help make up for it.
Mm.
A little.
Mm. Oh, I just love this topiary.
Yeah?
I wonder who did it.
Oh, Henry Moore, for all I don't
know. You're tickling me. I'm glad you asked me over.
I couldn't wait till tomorrow.
You're lucky I finished early.
Or Daddy would have got mad again.
Well, I wouldn't care even if he had.
Are you sure about that?
Of course I'm sure. I know how to manage the work on that farm just as well as he does.
That's not what he thinks,
well, is maybe it? Not, but the way he treated me after I stayed here last, it was ridiculous.
Yeah, it still bugs you, doesn't it?
Yes, because I was right and he was wrong.
Do you think he's jealous?
Of us?
Yeah.
Why should he be?
He thinks I'm taking you away from him.
But you're not. I'm working all the hours God sends on that harvest.
I know that.
It's up to me how I spend my time off, not him.
Us older men don't always see things that logically.
You're not as old as he is.
Mm. Not quite.
Come on. Oh. I want to see the other hidden treasures in this garden.
All right. Hey, don't go too fast. You might miss something.
Simon?
Mm-hmm.
What's this table doing here?
Well, I did invite you round for dinner.
But the candelabra, the silver service.
Surprised you, huh?
It's a lovely surprise. Oh. Thank you.
This oven takes ages to warm up.
Not like the Arga, then?
You could say that. I just put this pie in.
I'm sorry if I've called it an awkward time.
No, no, Janet, please sit down.
Oh, thanks.
Would you like a cup of tea?
Oh, no, thanks. I can't stay too long. Actually, Jill, what I really wanted to know...
Yes?
Honestly, is how do you think the service went? What were people saying?
Well, as you know, I still prefer the old hymns.
Sure.
But some of the youngsters seem to enjoy them.
That's what it's all about, really.
Mm.
And some of them are very good.
And so long as you carry on using the old books as well, there shouldn't be a problem.
We will. I expect Phil will be relieved about that too.
Yes, probably.
And I'll make sure I give him plenty of warning for the new ones.
He'd appreciate that. Oh, that's probably him back from Brookfield now.
Hi, Mum.
Oh, it's Shula.
We're back.
Oh.
Oh, hello, Janet. Come on, Daniel. Oh, it's lovely to see you, but I'm just going.
Oh.
Are Gran and Grandad here?
Yes, darling, Gran's here and Grandad will be soon. Come and give me a hug.
Right.
Oh, look, don't go on our account, Janet. This is just a quick visit before Daniel has to go to bed.
Oh, thanks, but I've got to get back. You look really brown.
Yes, you do. Daniel, do you want to go and play with the toy cars? You know where they are, don't you?
Yes, Gran.
I'm sorry we missed the service.
Oh, don't worry.
We were back in time, just. But I'd forgotten it was Evensong this week.
I'll forgive you.
Look, why don't you come over for supper on Tuesday?
Oh, you don't have to feel that guilty.
I mean it. We haven't had a good chat for ages.
That sounds great, thank you.
About seven-ish?
Fine. I'll see you then. Bye, Jill.
Bye, Janet.
Bye.
Now, I want you to tell me all about your holiday. Come and sit down.
Oh, well, no prizes for guessing which was the best night.
The Chateau.
Oh, it was fabulous, and I would have loved it. Fantastic food, wonderful room, four-poster bed, vineyards stretching as far as the eye could see.
And what about the camping?
Well, there were great facilities for children. A pool, a games room, lots of organised activities.
And how did Daniel cope without his muzzy?
He was a bit clingy for the first couple of days, but well, then he just seemed to forget all about it.
The excitement of being on holiday, I expect.
Yes, that and the excitement of the toilet block flooding.
Ah, wasn't all as bad as that, was it?
Well, let's just say that listening to rain beating down all night on a tent you think might blow away at any moment is not my idea of a relaxing way to spend a holiday.
Oh, dear.
Alistair kept saying how good it was to get back in touch with nature.
But it doesn't hurt to have a few home comforts, does it?
Exactly.
Mummy, I can't find the orange car.
Oh, all right, sweetheart. I'll help you look for it in a minute.
I'll play in here.
All right. Oh, Daniel, do you have to?
Well, come on in, Jack.
Oh, thanks.
Hello, Shula. I thought you might pop in.
Hello, Dad. Hello, Jack.
Hello.
Grandad, guess what we saw
in front? Oh, I don't know. Was it a dinosaur?
No, silly. 50 hedgehogs.
Oh.
Make that about 5.
Shula, you're looking ever so healthy. Your holiday must have done you good.
Yes, it did, thanks.
Oh, looks a bit crowded in here.
It doesn't take much to do that, I'm afraid.
Well, I'd best leave you to it, then.
Are you sure you don't want that cup of tea?
No, thanks. Another time, perhaps. Good night, everybody.
Good night,
Jack. Do you want to know what colours the hedgehogs were, Grandad?
Tell me in a minute, Daniel. Oh, poor Jack. He's very worried about the shoot. He wanted my advice, but I didn't really know what to say to him.
It's difficult, isn't it?
I mean, you can't help thinking he'd be better off just letting it go, but that's not what he wants to hear. Well, is Alistair here?
Oh, he got nabbed by Neil and Tony just as we were coming out. Apparently Westbury thrashed us, and Sid's being insufferable. He sends his apologies.
The joys of being cricket captain, eh?
Absolutely.
Well, don't I get a kiss?
Oh, of course. Oh, it's good to be home again.
I always feel that at the end of a holiday, especially when I get into my own bed.
Yes, I'm really looking forward to that. Oh, by the way, has Tommy got a new girlfriend?
Oh, I don't know. Why do you ask?
Well, it's just that on our way home, we dropped into the supermarket outside Felbisham and Tommy was in the cafe with a girl.
Well, I wouldn't have thought he went to that sort of place.
No, I know. And the funny thing is, when Alistair called out and waved to him, he just got up and walked away with the girl as if he hadn't seen us. I'm sure he must have done.
How peculiar.
I mustn't drink any more, Simon. I've got to get up in the morning.
Where have I heard that before?
It's been so tiring these last few weeks.
I guess that's true, judging by how loud you've been snoring in the mornings.
I do not snore. Do I?
Well, all I can say is it's lucky this building has strong foundations.
Gee.
Now, how about caramelized hazelnut mousse with a raspberry and port coulis for dessert?
Mmm. Well, you should be a chef.
I only like to cook for you.
Lucky old me.
I could cook for you every night.
I'm turned into a barrel.
You mean you don't eat like this at home?
No way. I haven't got the time.
If you lived here, that wouldn't matter.
It does sound tempting.
Then why not? I can't come and see you at home farm.
You know I wish it wasn't like that.
So, why don't you move in here? It's close by. There's plenty of room. I think we like each other.
It's not that.
Then what is it?
I just think it's too early for us.
And of course we had to carry all the water from a standpipe.
You didn't do that, did you?
Of course not. What a husband's for.
Poor Daniel, he looks whacked.
I'm tired, Mummy. Can I go to bed?
Oh, of course, sweetheart. Oh, look at the time. I hadn't realised. I'm sorry, Mum, we must go.
Come here, Daniel. You haven't told me about the eclipse yet.
It wasn't very exciting.
Oh, wasn't it?
No.
No, not really. We were stuck in a traffic jam.
No, you went all that way to see it.
Yes. Alistair insisted we had to find the centre of totality. Unfortunately, everyone else had the same idea.
What a pity.
A pinhole camera doesn't have quite the same effect when you're holding it out of a car window.
No, I don't suppose it does.
All right, my darling, let's get you home. He's been going non-stop for 2 weeks.
Should sleep well tonight, then.
We all will.
One last hug for Grandad.
Okay.
Oh, you'll be too big for me to pick you up soon.
Be careful, Phil.
Oh, dear.
Oh, no. Oh, I'm sorry, Jill.
Oh, wasn't that the one Auntie Prue gave you for your silver wedding?
Yes, it was. Oh, I am fed up with this place.
I really am sorry. It was completely my fault.
No, it wasn't. It's this bungalow. It's just too small. The sooner we move back to Brookfield, the better.
Mine shouldn't be much longer now.
Huh? What was wrong with it?
Main drive belt. Just went on me this morning.
Oh, I thought we fitted a new one last year.
Yeah, well, we did.
Why did it take the fitter so long to get here?
Well, he was on another job. He got here as soon as he could.
Well, he's lost us half a day.
It's not his fault. At least I got on with some other work.
Oh, did you?
I've been working down mile pits with a rake.
Well, that could have waited.
I thought you'd be pleased. I haven't been wasting time.
Well, I am, but the point is, Debbie, that once the combine's operational, it's got to be used. You won't get a better chance to take a break this week.
Who's talking about taking a break with our workload?
I mean it. You're not going to be much use to me if you're too tired to work efficiently.
Are you suggesting I haven't been working efficiently?
I'm not suggesting anything of the kind. Just that we're running such a tight operation here, I don't want anything to jeopardise it.
Well, you needn't worry on my account.
I hope not. How are our two students doing?
Fine.
We'll keep an eye on them. I know they're in a grain hoarding.
Yeah, I do, Dad, I assure you. Oh, look out, Ray. It's okay, I'll get it.
The students aren't very experienced and we're relying heavily on their input.
Yeah, I know, and there's no problem. There you go.
Good.
You've been doing a good job. I trust them.
Yeah, well, even so, they need supervision.
Why are you telling me this now, Dad? Don't you trust my judgment anymore?
Of course I do.
Well, you certainly don't trust me to schedule my own work, do you?
I didn't say that.
You made it blindingly obvious when I missed that morning after it rained last week.
Well, that was different.
Because of Simon?
No, it's not as simple as that.
What is it, then?
Debbie, you just need to think carefully about when is and when is not an appropriate time to take your breaks.
It's never been a problem before.
Then don't let it become one now. As it is, you'll have your work cut out to finish this field tonight.
You can say that again.
You could still do it, as long as this chap gets a move on.
Yeah, well, he's nearly finished.
And if you don't have any plans to slope off early... I'll see you later.
Thanks, Dad. Thanks a lot.
Come on, you. That's it. Good girl. You know it's better for you in the crate. Can't eye on your little ones when they come along.
Do you always have to have a conversation with them?
Yeah.
In you go. Go on. Right, that's it.
You should try it. I find it works wonders.
Strong and silent, that's me. Pigs appreciate it.
Is that true, old girl? You like him, do you?
You can see she does.
Anyway, I appreciate your help this afternoon.
So what's up with Bert today, then?
He says there's a buzzing noise in his head.
He must have swallowed a fly.
Do you think he should swallow a spider next?
So long as he doesn't end up swallowing a horse.
Because then he'd be dead.
Of course.
Sad. It is sad, isn't it, really? We get all our cultural references from Joffy's tapes.
Oh, look at her. She doesn't like it in there.
It's only for a couple of weeks.
Even so.
Come on, she's warm, she's well-fed, and she doesn't have to worry about crushing the kids.
They really don't like such confined spaces.
They're pigs, Ruth. You can't afford to be sentimental.
I'm not being sentimental. Ask Bert or your dad.
Yeah, well, I know what they have to say.
You go for slack and we go for tickle. That's all it is. Oh, isn't that right, old girl?
I think I'm going to leave you to your piggy conversation.
Seriously, David. I've been looking into how to manage this differently.
You're very persistent, aren't you?
You knew that when you married me.
Yeah, I suppose I did.
At least let me show you what I found out.
Well, all right, maybe this evening, but right now, I need to go and cultivate the stubble. I'll see you later.
Hello, darling.
Hi, Mum.
You haven't seen a pearl earring, have you?
No. I shouldn't think you'll find it in the bread bin.
Well, you never know.
Well, is it in there?
No. You finished early?
No, I needed to go to the loo. Is that all right?
Well, of course it is. Why do you ask such a funny question?
Oh, it's just that... nothing. You're not very smart going anywhere nice.
Have you forgotten?
I don't think so.
Perhaps Brian didn't mention it. There's an open-air concert tonight at Redgate Manor.
Mm, sounds like fun.
Yeah, should be. We're taking a picnic.
And I'm making a sandwich.
Oh, dear, that doesn't sound much fun.
Oh, it's all I need, really.
Aren't you going out tonight, then?
Nope. No, I've got to finish this field. Then there's still that article on GMOs to do for the parish magazine.
Well, we're only going to the concert because Borchester Land are one of the sponsors.
You don't have to explain.
How are things between you and Simon?
Oh, you know, they're fine.
I heard you come back pretty late last night.
You don't have to listen out for me anymore, Mum. I'm old enough to look after myself now.
Right, Jenny, you ready to go yet?
Well, I'm still looking for my earring.
Oh, can't you wear another pair?
No, they go with this dress.
And before you ask, Dad, I've just popped back for the loo and a bite to eat, all right?
Well, thank you, Debbie. I'm so glad you're keeping me informed about your bodily functions. Have you packed the champagne, darling?
Of course.
Good. I feel like celebrating the expansion of our shoot.
Isn't that a bit premature?
Yeah, not at all. I'm sure Jack's going to see sense before the end of the week.
Well, I must say, when I saw him today, he looked as though the cares of the world were on his shoulders.
Well, all the more reason for him to hand over the shoot, then. He hasn't been getting the best out of it for quite some time now.
Try not to sound too ruthless, will you, Dad?
Needs a firmer hand to exploit its potential. And that's what it's going to get. Oh, by the way, darling, that was Bob Blythe on the phone earlier.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, he's invited me over for one of those simulated game shoots next Monday. Yeah. On the bank holiday.
That's in Somerset, isn't it? I hope you said no.
I most certainly did not. Just the chance I need to get my eye in before the season starts.
Dad, how can you?
Very easily. He's an influential man. He's very useful to keep him with.
We're struggling to get the harvest done as it is.
You'll be fine. One day out won't do any harm. Now, where's that picnic hamper? Ah, there it is. I'll wait for you in the car, Jenny. Don't be long.
Well, of course I won't. If I can only find... Debbie, just look in front of you.
What?
Well, haven't you got eyes in your head? Look! It's my earring next to the ham. I wonder how it got there.
I don't believe it.
Well, now what's the matter?
Well, it's fine for him to swan off to open-air concerts and a day's shooting, but if I dare to come in late one morning, then it's the end of the world as far as he's concerned.
Well, if you feel that strongly,
he?
Perhaps you better tell him.
Do you know what, Mum?
No?
Last night, Simon asked me to move in with him.
Oh.
But I turned him down.
Well, I think it's for the best.
I wish now that I'd said yes.
Where can it be?
That's...
Ruth, where have you put the large frying pan? I can't find it anywhere.
I haven't been using it. I think I've put it in that bottom cupboard over in the corner.
I didn't think of looking in there. That's where I keep my cleaning stuff.
Oh, sorry.
You see, it's a bit out of the way down here.
I suppose we all like to do things a bit differently.
Yes, I suppose we do. I'm afraid supper's going to be a bit late now.
Oh, that's okay. It's very kind of you to come and cook tea for us while the work's so heavy.
That's all right.
But if it's becoming inconvenient...
No, of course not. I enjoy it.
Kids are fast asleep. Thank goodness.
I think Haley must have worn them out.
Yeah, she had them outside all day. They're both really rosy-cheeked.
That's nice. So much better than sitting inside watching the telly.
Yeah. So, Ruth, do you want to talk about the pigs, then?
Your dad isn't here, is he?
No, I know, but...
I really think he should be involved.
When's he getting back from his concert?
Well, it won't be until after 10, I expect.
And that's too late to start a serious discussion.
Poor Mum, I bet you wish you'd gone with him, lovely evening like this.
I do rather. It's such a good programme. Beethoven, Brahms, Schumann's Piano Concerto. That's one of my favourites.
Shame Dad didn't buy two tickets, after all.
It wasn't long after the accident. I didn't know how I'd be.
You were all right at the bell-ringing picnic last week, weren't you?
Yes, I was. Never mind. I expect Phil will enjoy it. He can tell me all about it.
I'm surprised he went without you.
Why ever not? It would be silly for both of us to miss it.
Oh, I suppose so. Mm. By the way, Ruth, I sneaked a look at the leaflet while you were in the shower.
Oh, so you're determined to have this discussion anyway, are you?
Well, not necessarily, no, but since we're both here.
Well, what did you think, then?
They look great on paper. Hinged crates and straw instead of slatted floors. But we can't afford them, that's the trouble.
But the farrowing crates we've got are so worn out, we're going to have to replace them soon anyway.
Oh, they'll last another year or two. Anyway, I'm not keen on going over to something experimental.
They're not experimental, they're practical. And they'd make the pigs happier. Mm.
Well, maybe, but rather than keep throwing money at the problem, I think we should consider another solution.
What's that?
We could get out of pig farming altogether.
We can't do that.
Why not?
Your dad would never agree.
I haven't asked him yet.
I'm with Ruth on this one, David.
Oh, didn't think you were listening, Mum.
You shouldn't be discussing this without your father here.
Well, I promise we will discuss it with him.
But I can tell you now, he'll never agree to get rid of the pigs.
No, I don't think so either.
He's been keen on pigs for as long as I can remember. It'd break his heart to lose them now.
Any more water in the kettle?
Well, you want a coffee?
I'm dying for one.
Oh, I'll make it.
No need.
Go on, let me do it.
OK, thanks.
I didn't realise you were still up, or I'd have asked you.
I was in the office.
What, at this time?
Working on the GMO article.
Cool. That is dedication.
No, I just want to get it done. Where's Mum?
Oh, she went straight to bed when we got in.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Thanks. This keeps me awake another hour. I might actually finish it.
Can't the article wait?
No, not really. As you're so keen to point out, time's at a bit of a premium just now.
I didn't think the Parish magazine worked such demanding deadlines.
Well, actually, I don't want to stop. Seems to be going quite well.
Really?
Yeah, it took me ages to get going, but once I started on the potential benefits of GMOs to fight malnutrition in the third world, well, it just seemed to flow.
Oh, great. I look forward to reading it.
You haven't shown much interest up to now.
Oh, I'm sorry. I think it's an excellent idea, writing it. Honestly.
Well, someone has to put our side of the argument.
I admire you for taking the job on. But surely you can take a couple of minutes break.
How was the concert?
It was good. Mm-hmm. Fireworks, excellent. And I knew one or two of the tunes.
That's always a plus.
Though your mother seemed a little put out when I started humming along to the Brahms.
I don't blame her.
All in all, that was a pretty good night.
Good.
And that's the point I was making this morning. A break at the right time can actually help you work more efficiently.
What, like taking the bank holiday off to go shooting?
Well, that's going to be business as much as pleasure.
Of course it is.
It's only one day.
One day, I see.
Debbie, I'm happy to see you take time off.
Oh, yes.
When it's appropriate.
Appropriate?
When it doesn't interfere with your work.
Yeah, I think you mean when it doesn't involve Simon.
Oh, don't be silly, darling.
No, I'm not being silly.
You can do what you like in your own time.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear it.
If you want to waste it on something that's going nowhere...
Oh, thanks.
I'm just being realistic. Where are you off to?
Finish the article.
Oh, Debbie, don't be silly. Come back.
What?
You've got to admit I'm right about you and Simon.
Oh, of course you are, Dad. When have you ever been otherwise?
You know their onions will go far in Ambridge as Tommy and Ushan seek an expert opinion.
This is Patrick Taylor, who'll be representing us in court.
Good afternoon, Mr. Fenton.
Pleased to meet you.
And this is Thomas Archer, our defendant.
You can call me Tom.
Roger.
OK.
Roger's from the Pesticides Trust, which concerns itself with the health and environmental problems of pesticides and herbicides. He'll provide our expert testimony on how herbicide-tolerant GM crops might affect pesticide use.
If this is too technical, please stop me.
Thanks.
Help yourself to biscuits.
Thank you. Mr. Fenton, would it be fair to say that the argument over GM herbicide-resistant crops hinges on whether the use will lead to less pesticides being used?
That's one of the main arguments, but there are others.
Such as?
Well, resistance problems, the environmental impact, gene transfer, and so on.
Could you tell us first what the pro-GM case would be for herbicide-resistant crops?
Certainly. Let's start with pre-emergence herbicides. Now, they're used to clear the ground chemically before the crop emerges. If herbicide-resistant crops work, you won't need to make this pre-emergent application. Instead, you can wait until the weeds appear and then spray.
Well, I can't see many farmers doing that.
Well, quite. They're not going to risk the crop. so they're still likely to make what we call an insurance application of pre-emergence herbicides, just in case.
Are there any other circumstances under which pre-emergence applications will still be necessary?
Yeah, for example, clearing the seedbed for sowing, preventing a carryover of disease from the previous crop, getting rid of weeds, they don't harbour pests. There's any number of reasons.
So their argument falls down?
Even where the insurance application is avoided, measuring the savings in pesticide use is full of inaccuracies.
Well, would it be fair to say generally that the science lags behind the practice?
Well, I'm not sure about that. All I would say is that the case for reduction in pesticide use is not proven as conclusively as the biotech companies would like us to believe.
Yes, we'll need to be clear about this.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I can talk next about resistance problems, if you like.
No, we can come to those later. I'd like you to tell us about the regulatory system with regard to GM crops.
Well, as I'm sure you will have seen from the press, there's a growing demand for better regulation of all aspects of GMO trialling, including its herbicide-resistant applications. Now,
sorry. Crumb just went down the wrong way. And just go and get a glass of water.
OK. Do you know where it is?
Yeah, no problem.
OK. Sorry about that. We'll take a quick break.
My goodness, Bert. I've never seen such big onions. They're enormous.
Oh, you'll have to speak up, or you've got this buzzy noise going on in my ears.
That doesn't sound very good.
Look, I've swallowed a fly.
It must be very uncomfortable.
I thought I'd gone daft at first. I couldn't hear a thing. Then these noises started.
Have you seen Dr. Hathaway about it?
He told me my ears needed spring cleaning.
And that'll cure it?
I'm getting them syringed tomorrow. Should be as good as you after that.
Let's hope so.
It's a blessed nuisance hearing noises all the time.
I bet it is.
I come out here for a bit of peace and quiet, but I can't seem to get away from it.
Oh, I'm sorry if I'm disturbing you too.
Oh, excuse me while I deal with this little fella.
Oh, yes, I've had big problems with snails this year.
Hey?
And slugs.
If it's wet in May, slugs will have their way.
I tried beer traps, but I think I just got them drunk. And I can't bear pouring salt on them.
You can't afford to be soft, Vicar. They're pests. Only thing that really does the job is them pellets.
I don't like using those. They're not very eco-friendly, are they?
You'll have to speak up. Ah.
Does it help banging your head like that?
Ah! No, what were you saying?
Actually, I came to talk to you about the new hymn books.
Ah! What was that?
The new hymn books.
Oh, them.
Yes. What do you think of them?
I still say we didn't need them in the first place. Nobody asked for them, did they?
No, they didn't. But you don't have to wait for something to fall apart before you replace it.
So you're going to get rid of the old ones?
No, that's not what I said. We'll prolong the life of the older books by using them in tandem. We're not abandoning all those lovely old hymns.
How come we aren't spending the money on the bells instead? Where's the sense in all these fundraising events when you go and spend it on books?
It's not the same budget as the one for the bells. They're completely separate.
Oh, is that so?
You needn't worry. With the money from last week's picnic and what we should get from next week's petrol money scheme, we'll soon be there.
I want to see the inscription on them bells. It's a fine way to remember Tom and Prue. I reckon they'd be mighty proud.
Do you reckon all these experts' opinions are worth it?
Definitely. They're helping to build up the uncertainties surrounding the whole technology.
I suppose the other side will put up experts who say the opposite.
Well, it doesn't matter. The jury will get the point.
What was that lack of a liability regime thing he was talking about?
Well, what Mr. Fenton meant was that, in general, biotech companies are happy to tell you in advance all about the safety of their GMOs, but they don't tend to accept liability when a fault or mistake occurs. It rather undermines the assurance of their claims when their acceptance of responsibility is so limited.
Right.
Don't worry. We'll go through it all again.
Sorry about that. His last train home was at 5:50. He only just made it.
Do you think there'll be any problem with Fenton writing up that report before we present it to prosecution on Friday?
No, he said he'd get it to us on Thursday.
Good.
I'm hoping to use his evidence for the other case as well, the one in Northamptonshire.
Oh, it's along pretty similar lines, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Oh, by the way, Tom, Kirsty says hello. I saw her and her chums the other day.
Oh, good.
I expect you miss her, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
Interesting point Fenton made about problems with these crops often becoming apparent only after passing through the regulatory system.
Yes. They still haven't sorted out delayed and indirect risk assessment. It all ties in with the advice I've been getting from Stephen Allison.
Who's he?
A barrister. Specialises in the legislation which regulates genetic engineering.
So what does he have to say?
Mainly that despite this European Council Directive, 9220 EC, Part 6 of the Environmental Protection Act 1990, and the...
The GMO Deliberate Release Regulations of 1992.
Thank you. Despite all these regulations and subsequent modifications, there's nothing at the moment to say that risk evaluation should extend any further than immediate and direct risk.
Is that going to change?
Well, apparently there is a revision of the Directive 9220 EC being undertaken. Though it's unlikely to be concluded before the end of the year.
So, as things stood on May the 13th, when Tom trashed this crop, they would only consider risks that were immediately apparent.
Yes. But given that there is no common methodology of risk assessment specified by the directive either, it's almost impossible to evaluate even those risks in any meaningful way.
Mm. Excuse me interrupting.
Yes, Tom.
Do you think you two could start talking about this in English?
Hello, Shula.
Hi. Sorry I'm late.
Well, it makes a change. It's usually me.
I've been at Mum's, showing her the holiday photos. You can have a look at them later if you like.
I'd love to. I've just been admiring your garden.
Yeah. Not looking too bad, is it? Despite 2 weeks of neglect.
These roses are beautiful. I'm very envious.
Oh, the Juliet over there is Alistair's favourite.
Oh, it's got a fabulous scent.
Yes.
Where is he, by the way?
I'm afraid he's working late tonight.
Oh, that's a pity.
Still, means we can have a good chat between ourselves.
And where's Daniel?
Mum's got him. Dad'll bring him back before bedtime.
Here's some wine I brought back from Cologne.
Oh, thank you. Gewürztraminer. Mmm. Oh, nice and cold.
Well, it's a shame Alistair's not here. There's something I wanted to ask him.
Oh, what's that?
The diocesan cricket team want to play some matches to raise money for work on the cathedral.
And you want them to play Ambridge?
Not just them. Me as well. It's a mixed team.
Oh, what a splendid idea. Can we be mixed too?
Of course.
I'm sure Alistair will agree. I'd love to have a go.
Oh, that's great.
It'll take his mind off Sid and his targeted skill reinforcement sessions.
Yes, I heard he wasn't making himself very popular.
Well, they're getting their own back by asking him to find out all sorts of weird and wonderful information for them.
Well, he likes doing that, doesn't he?
Not when it involves going to all the other team's grounds to check the size, make and weight of their rollers. Robert thought of that one.
Oh, I hope they're not too mean to him.
Oh, serves him right.
Oh, it's a beautiful evening, isn't it?
Mm, lovely. I walked back from Brookfield along the river.
How is your mum, by the way?
Oh, a bit out of sorts, I'm afraid.
I thought I sent something the other night.
Oh, she's champing at the bit to get back to Brookfield, of course. But it's not just that.
No?
No, she thinks David's going to pressure Dad into giving up the pigs.
Why would he do that?
Oh, they've lost a lot of money on them in the last year or so.
But your father would still be reluctant to get rid of them?
Very. I think Ruth's on Dad's side. They're having a big meeting about it tomorrow night.
Well, perhaps they'll reach a compromise.
Yeah, I hope so. I know what we need. A glass of this wine.
Oh, yes, please.
I'll just go and get a corkscrew. It's so nice. We'll drink it out here, shall we?
Mm, that sounds like a good idea.
Back in a minute. Pull a couple of those chairs into the sun.
Righto.
Oh, hello, Bert. Have you come to see Shula?
No, Mrs. Archer said you'd be here. I've brought you this as a peace offering.
A basket of vegetables.
Yeah, I give you a bit of a hard time over those hymn books.
Oh.
Rita told me offer it.
Oh, that's very kind of you.
No, I can't stay. Me tea's on the table.
Look, Bert, really, honestly,
hello,
I don't think this...
How are you?
I'll see you later.
Oh, bye then. It's not like him to rush off.
Well, he's probably a bit embarrassed about this. I certainly am.
But what do you mean?
It's a present.
Well, how lovely. Oh, onions, carrots, celery. He must like you.
That's what makes me feel so bad about it.
Why? There you are.
Oh, thanks.
Cheers.
Mmm. Oh, lovely. I'm afraid I've been harbouring some rather ungrateful thoughts towards Bert and a few other parishioners recently.
About the hymn books?
Yes. I can't believe the fuss they made over them.
But they went down well on Sunday, didn't they?
Yes. Nobody complained at all.
Well, that's rather typical, I'm afraid. People kick up a stink at the merest hint of change. When it happens, all the fuss blows over. It's as if there was never a problem in the first place.
All that trouble over something so petty. It's really not what I joined the ministry for.
That sounds serious.
I do sometimes wonder if I'm in the right place.
I didn't realise you felt like that. Surely you're not seriously thinking of giving it up? Oh, I don't know. I'm going to see a friend in Bristol this weekend, someone I was ordained with. We're going to talk things over. Oh. Well, of course, you must do whatever you feel is right. Thanks. I'm glad you understand. But I, for one, would hate to lose you. Because not only are you a good vicar, but you're a very good friend, too.
Eddie's in good spirits.
There you go. Put them down by the wall.
Just gonna do my back in, this is. I shouldn't be carrying these heavy bags.
Oh, these ain't heavy. Little bag of dairy nuts. You should be chuffed with them. I'll keep the cows going for ages.
Don't know what the point is.
The point is, we go on producing milk.
But for how long, though?
You're still upset about losing that calf, ain't you?
You've got a right to be upset. He's only 2 weeks old.
Yeah, I know it was sad.
But you got to look on the bright side. What's that, then?
Well, Natalie's looking better for a start.
How many more bags than others?
Oh, two after this and... Yeah. Hey, and I bought the turkey poults today. They'll be here next week.
Well, who can we afford them as well?
I'll tell you how. We've had some money in for the contract work.
We?
Cash in hand, too.
Yeah, well, it's empty.
I even paid off the first instalment of what we've borrowed off that Paul's mate, like I said I would.
Well, call him what he is. A loan shark.
Yeah, well, I had to get that money somehow. I'll do this last bag myself.
Well... Can I go for me tea now, then?
Hold on a minute. It's Clary.
Well, she's going to bowl. There's a pie in the oven.
Right, we're in business. Come with me.
Yeah, I thought we'd finished unloading.
Not quite. Take a look at this. Ta-da!
Blimey. Isn't that...
Yep, a still.
Where'd you get it?
In the market from a lorry driver. He got it in Normandy.
It's illegal, isn't it?
Not anymore. There's no law against buying a still. It's the single market, isn't it?
Oh, that's all right, then. What are you going to use it for?
Well, I was thinking along the lines of Grange Farm Millennium Apple Brandy.
No!
Who the hell's that?
Quick, quick, cover it up.
Eddie!
Oh, don't... Oh.
I tried ringing the front. No, you steaming great pillock. You frightened the life out of me.
Oh, I'm sorry. What you got there?
Nothing.
Yeah, it's an old boiler Eddie picked up for scrap.
That's right, for scrap. Doing it as a favour.
Oh, you can do me a favour and all.
What's that?
I've been asked to fetch you for cricket practice.
No chance. Who sent you?
Sid. He wants William too.
Oh. He ain't back from work yet.
Oh. Sid won't take no for an answer. He's been a right pain.
Well, you can tell him from me to get... No, hang on a minute. I got an idea. We're giving him things to do for the cricket, ain't we?
That's right. The harder, the better.
I know. Ask him to find out what's been on the menu for tea at each of Lakey Green's matches this season.
Why?
It'll drive him mad.
But there's got to be a reason.
Tell him if we find out what they've been eating, we can give them something they don't like. That'll keep him busy.
I'm not going to tell him. You can.
I can't. I'm too busy here, ain't I, Dad?
That's right, son. Much too busy here.
That's a lovely postcard from your mum and dad.
I know. Oh, that lovely sunshine. Lucky old them.
San Gimignano looked beautiful.
Wish we could go to Tuscany.
Mm. Would you mind passing the cake to him from the shelf above you?
Okay.
Thanks.
Are these the new hymns for next week's service?
Yes. Janet dropped them in this morning.
I don't recognise either of them.
I expect Pip does, though. They look all right. Even if they're not quite, I vow to thee, my country.
No, Shine Jesus Shine doesn't have the same ring to it somehow.
I thought Janet looked a bit down when she was here.
Did you?
She surely thinks she's been rather thrown by the fuss over the hymn books.
I'm not surprised after Cologne. One day she's taken on third world debt. The next, the old guard of Ambridge. Bit of a culture shock, really.
When you put it like that, I suppose it is.
She'll bounce back, I'm sure. Do you want a hand?
You could do the beans while I finish off this cake.
I bet you're looking forward to Julia's birthday party tomorrow night.
Yes. 75th. We're not talking about that.
Hello, you two.
Hello.
David arrived.
He's gone to cricket, Ned's.
Well, we are still having this meeting, aren't
Yeah, Sid caught him and he couldn't get out of it. He'll be back as soon as he can, though.
Oh, I hope so. I know what this meeting's going to be about.
The pigs?
No, it's about getting rid of the pigs, isn't it?
No, it isn't.
No, but you see, I know what David's thinking.
Do you?
Yes. Doing something about the pigs means spending more money. That's why I know what he's going to say.
Why don't we just wait for David, eh?
All right. But I warn you, I may have some pretty strong objections.
That's it! And bend! And stretch! Breathe in!
Flip it.
Breathe out!
This is a bit much.
Good.
I've been out in the field all day bending and stretching. I don't need this.
Actually, Sid, Neil's got a point, though. We've been doing these exercises for 20 minutes now. Are we ever going to pick up a bat and a ball?
Oh, now that you're ready for it, yes. But I promise you'll feel the benefits. Now you've had a proper warm-up.
Oh, yeah.
Duncan, Robert, get padded up. Neil, you can bowl.
OK.
And you can jog up to the nets if you like.
No, thanks. I'll walk.
Hey, Sid, what's happened to Steve Harris?
Oh, no idea.
I thought he was going to be our saviour.
Well, perhaps he's gone off with Alistair. Perhaps they both found something better to do than come to practice.
Hey, now that's not fair. Alistair's covering for a colleague who covered for him while he was away.
No, I don't think he's bothered about the cricket anymore. All he's interested in is giving me daft, impossible things to do.
Oh, yes, such as what?
You know those charts showing where the batsmen score their runs around the field?
Yeah?
And he wants me to do one of those for each of their top order.
Oh, sounds like a good idea, if we're going to set our fields properly.
But how am I going to work all that out?
Well, get in touch with their scorer. I expect he'll help you.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, that's very likely, isn't it? Help us to beat his own team.
Only a suggestion, Sid. Now, before I go...
What? You're going?
I told you I had to go early.
Yeah. Well, I suppose I should be grateful you turned up at all.
Anyway, I've had a thought.
Oh, yeah?
I reckon a soil sample from the Lakey Green pitch would really help us.
Sorry, you what?
Well, it would give us an idea of what kind of pitch it's going to be, you know, slow turner or fast and bouncy.
And how am I going to do that without the team noticing?
Do it after dark, when no one's looking.
You serious?
I'm deadly serious. As you've been saying, Sid, you can't be too well prepared, can you?
Just look at that pure nectar.
Well, better be. That was 2 gallons of best cider we put in that still.
And it'll be even better apple brandy what comes out of it. Where's William?
He said he was going out with a mate. Take his mind off his results tomorrow.
Oh. Edward's in a world of his own upstairs with that music. I'm an awful racket. What time's Clary back?
Not after closing time.
Good out.
Yeah, I don't see why we has to run round scared of Clary all the time, any road.
You know what she's like, Dad. It's not worth the hassle.
Yeah, well, it don't look like there's no more coming out.
Right. Time for a tasting, I reckon.
And what are we waiting for? I got some glasses, see?
So. There you go.
Yeah.
Here's to the first distillation. Cheers. We'll do a second one tomorrow, eh? Oh, crikey, that's not bad.
It's not bad at all.
I reckon this could be the answer to all our problems.
Bert, where are you going, Bert? You haven't...
Don't believe it. Deaf as a post.
He's got cotton wool in his ears.
What?
He had him syringed this morning.
I don't think I want to know that.
40 years of mucking him, he reckoned.
Definitely didn't want to know that.
Probably explains why he's been turning a deaf ear to our appeals since he took over.
Yeah, that's true. Trying to get an LBW decision out of him is like trying to get blood out of stone.
What do you want him for, anyway?
Oh, he hadn't paid for his crisps.
Ah, that's all right, Sid. I'll pay for him.
Oh, thanks. And, you make sure you're telling me Osier.
Oh, I reckon I can afford it this once.
Ah. Now, that's a sign of a generous nature, which is more than can be said of that Steve Addis.
Why, what's he done?
Ah, he's only gone and told us he can't play this Sunday.
Oh, no, that is bad news.
And as for you lot, with all these daft things you keep asking me to do...
Well, talking of which, Susan's got a bit of an interest in astrology, you know.
Has she?
Yeah, and I was thinking what a good idea it would be if you could find out the zodiac signs of all the Lakey Green players so she can draw up charts for them.
Give me strength.
No, no, I mean it. I mean, Taurians are bound to be big hitters, and Leos, they're going to be fast bowlers, aren't they?
Hold it, Neil. First off, it's tea menus, then it's soil samples, now it's blooming horoscopes.
You lot have been winding me up, haven't you?
David, I don't see how closing Hollow Tree down's going to help us.
No, all I'm saying is that closure is one option.
I know that, and despite your reservations, I do feel that Ruth's alternatives are worth a serious look.
I think the only way we can continue with Hollow Tree is a complete rethink of our system, in line with what the market demands nowadays.
Which is what?
More welfare-friendly products. People go for labels like free-range, corn-fed and hand-reared.
That's what sells now.
Yeah, it's a shame, though, that going in the welfare direction has caused so many problems for British pig farmers.
What do you mean?
Well, things like outlawing stall and tether systems. And the ban on prophylactic antibiotics cost us up to £5 an animal. Costs which the Americans and other less regulated foreign producers don't have to bear.
Yeah, which makes it easy for them to undercut us. That's my point exactly. We're fighting a losing battle.
So are you two against welfare-friendly produce altogether?
No, I'm not. I just wish it was a level playing field.
Who wants to pay more just for the privilege of eating British pork?
You'd be surprised. If it's higher quality and home-produced, people will. Look at how sales of organics have increased in the last few years, and they've always been expensive.
That's not the same thing.
Oh, come on, David. Why don't I do some market research and come back with costed proposals?
Well, that sounds fair enough to me. What do you think, Jo?
I'd vote for that.
Well, I'm obviously outvoted here.
Yeah, you are.
Well, go on, then. But make sure these proposals don't cost an arm and a leg.
All right, Scrooge.
Now that we've sorted out the pigs and the harvest nearly over, perhaps you could all turn your minds to another pressing matter.
Ah, I think I know what's coming.
I expect you do. Surely you can see it makes sense to swap houses now, while things are quieter, and before Pip goes back to school.
You're right, of course, Jill.
So how about it?
OK, Mum. We'll move sometime next week. How does that sound? Are you busy?
Not really. I've been jotting down one or two ideas about things we need to do before we go to Ireland.
You made a list, have you?
Yes, but only a little one.
Is it? It's 3 pages long.
Well, I might have got a bit carried away.
And what's all this about falconry and jousting?
I was just thinking about a few of those ideas we talked about last week. It's nothing, really.
What's this?
Oh, just a doodle.
Is it a knight in shining armour?
It's supposed to be you.
You made me look a bit grim.
Have I? Sorry, you're not really.
Although I suppose I could be feeling a bit grim if Mummy's dinner party doesn't go well tonight.
Oh, don't worry, I'm sure it will. I've checked on the catering.
Oh, well done. Have they got the foie gras?
Yes, and the langoustines.
Oh, good. Mummy's very partial to those.
I know. Oh, the cake's being delivered at 7.
I hope it's going to be big enough.
What for?
All those candles.
Well, that depends on whether we tell the truth or not.
I've bought 75 anyway.
She'll kill you.
We'll see.
Oh, Lord, what time is it?
It's just gone 2:30.
The fire drill!
I knew there was something I'd come in here for.
We're as bad as each other.
I'll go and encourage people.
Yeah.
See you outside.
No, Nigel, there you are.
Sorry, Mummy, I can't stop now.
Okay, here goes.
Oh, no, Elizabeth, please, do we have to have this?
Yes, Julia, I'm afraid we do.
But it's going to give me a most terrible headache.
The law says we have to do this regularly.
But why now?
Because we've organised it for today.
As it's only a practice, do you think I could be excused?
No, you can't. You'd be burnt to a crisp.
But, Elizabeth, I need to lie down before tonight.
You don't want to get us into trouble with the authorities, do you?
No.
Well, come on, then. You can take me to the muster point.
To the what, dear?
Well, you do know what a muster point is, don't you?
No, I don't. And is it important?
Right, let's go. Come on, this way.
There'll be blue birds over the white kiss
of blue. Get off, creature.
Eddie, I'm in the parlour.
I've got nothing for you, Tess. Hey, go and see Edward. Go on.
Good. William was looking for you earlier.
Oh, I won't come too close, seeing as you're doing such a good job cleaning them teats.
Yeah, that's all kind. You better start coming down soon.
Oh, it will. How's her, Natalie?
Oh, still improving, I think.
Oh, that's good. So, what did William want?
He said you owes him a fiver.
Oh, did he now?
He said you bet him when he started his exams.
Oh, yeah? Yeah.
Said you promised him a quid for each one he passed.
Well, seem to remember it was a quid the other way and all. So that's 4 or not 4, yeah?
Oh, go on. It was only French. He got nothing.
Yeah, you're right.
He's done brilliant. Well, Clary's over the moon. Even if she was a bit disappointed about the French.
Yeah. First person in his family ever to get a GC, what's it?
He's done us proud. Yeah. What, C in business studies and C in design and technology? That boy's going to go far.
Yeah, well, don't forget he got a D in English, E in art, and, yeah, what was that other one?
IT. He got an E in IT. Yeah. That doesn't seem right, does it?
What?
Getting an E in IT. Lucky it wasn't a spelling test.
How do you mean?
He got an E in IT. Oh, never mind. Hey, have you heard what George is doing?
No.
He's giving William a shotgun. 12 ball to congratulate him on his results.
Well, that's all right, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. George is sorting out the licence with the police and everything. Even Clary's agreed to it.
So why is it funny?
Because he only wants to give him a lesson first. Oh. I mean, William's been potting rabbits since he was, what, knee-high to a grasshopper. He don't need a lesson.
Well, that's all the teach done at last.
So, where is William in?
He's gone out celebrating.
What about Clary?
Oh, she got a cold doing another shift down the ball today.
Oh, is she? That could come in handy.
I was thinking we could do a bit of celebrating ourselves when we finish milking.
Eh? We need to distill that brandy again, don't we?
And she can only ban us from using the still on the Reburn while she's at home, can't she?
Exactly. Grange Farm Millennium Apple Brandy. Here we come.
This really is very good sherry.
It should be. Julia brought it back from Spain. From a bodega in Jerez, I believe.
Mm-hmm. You're obviously enjoying it, Phil. That's your second glass.
Dad deserves it, Mum. The harvest's been hard work. He can relax now.
Just as well we're getting a taxi home.
Look, would you two mind not talking about me as if I weren't here?
Sorry, Dad. Oh, I'm so glad you two like the way the gallery's shaping up.
I think it's amazing how you've transformed that old barn. Mm. But you can hardly wait until October.
With some trepidation, but yes, I'm very excited.
And it's good to see Julia taking such an interest too.
Well, that's because Lewis is involved.
I'm looking forward to meeting him tonight. He sounds interesting.
Very interesting as far as Julia's concerned.
So long as he does a good job, it doesn't matter, though, does it?
And so far, we've got no complaints. Besides, anything that stops Julia fussing over me all the time has to be a good thing.
Try not to be too hard on her.
Oh, I know. She means well.
Oh, just remember, Elizabeth, you have to stay on the right side of these old ladies. I should know. Oh, look, more drinks.
Less of the old, please. And you're not having another sherry. The other guests haven't even arrived yet.
See what I mean? Formidable.
But I will have a glass of lemonade, please, Wesley. Thanks. There's no need to come back until the other guests are here.
I think that waiter wants to get us all drunk.
Yeah, he's terribly sweet, but a little keen. At least the delegates never complain about the level of wine in their glasses at lunchtime.
Oh, have you heard? Your mother's arranged for us to move back into Brookfield.
I know. How did you persuade Ruth and David?
It was never going to be a permanent swap. They knew that from the start.
You can't blame them for trying, huh?
I'm sorry, Nigel, but you're not going to convince me otherwise.
But, Mummy...
No, darling. 75 candles on a cake is far too many. It looks vulgar and ostentatious.
But...
No, I don't want to hear any more about it. Ah, good evening, Jill.
Hello,
Phil. I'm so glad you could come.
Our pleasure. Thanks for inviting us.
Has Wesley been in to replenish your glasses?
Yes, Julia, don't worry.
Oh, Lizzie, Camilla and James rang to say they were a little bit late setting off, so they won't arrive until just before 8.
Well, that's okay.
Some trouble with their cat, apparently.
Oh. Any sign of the Goodmans?
No, but I'm sure they'll be here soon.
Oh, Nigel, do you think we could have some different music? This Dvorak sounds a bit dreary. Well, don't you think so, Phil?
Well, actually...
Let's have some Mozart instead.
Righto. I'll see what I can find.
Thank you, darling. Oh, dear. Mantelpiece doesn't look
fine
either.
Doesn't it? I thought it looked rather nice.
Oh, no, it's far too showy. Too many cards.
Well, there are only 10.
That is not the point. Now, if I take away that one and that one... There, that looks better.
Isn't it funny how the only ones she's taken down are the ones with the number 75 on?
Oh, my heck. I need this fresh air.
Oh, that's good stuff, that is, eh?
It's enough to strip hairs off your chest. Never mind put them on.
And I thought Linda Snell's massage was the only thing that could make me feel young again.
No, I'm telling you. If I went to Leader's World right now, I'd find that wild boar and I'd bring him home for bacon.
So what are we waiting for, then, eh?
No, we've got to stay here and help William celebrate.
Yeah, but... Here, dear.
Well, I know that. Look, we'll save some for him for when he gets back.
Have you ever thought anything?
We've got a real intellectual in the family now.
Beats me where he got it from.
Well, you know, I always thought he took after me.
He should pass his exams every day, eh?
I'd never stand up if he passed them every day. Not drinking this stuff.
You would have sold like hotcakes when word gets round.
Oh, yeah. Do you reckon we've got it right yet?
Well, we ain't matured, is it? It's supposed to be matured in oak. Don't forget.
Well, I'd hate to put it on the market till we're sure we've got it right.
There we are, Lizzie.
Oh, I see Julia managed to get her way with the candles.
Of course. But I could never have fitted them all on anyway. I think 50's enough.
Oh, yes, Julia would be delighted. That's only about 10 less than she told Lewis.
Oh, Lizzie, you are awful.
Come on, time for your grand entrance.
Now, hold the door open for me.
All together now.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Julia. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you so much, everybody, for coming to celebrate my birthday this evening, and thank you all for making my dear friend Lewis feel so welcome. You've all helped to make it a very special occasion, and I shall treasure it for a long time to come.
Julia, how about something from one of your previous triumphs on the stage?
Oh, I say, that sounds like a splendid idea.
It was quite a long time ago, darling.
Oh, go on, Julia.
Well, there are so many things to choose from. I hardly know where to begin.
Lady Macbeth?
Oh, no. I don't think that's very appropriate for the dinner table, Elizabeth. One hardly wants to conjure up visions of Banquo's ghost.
But what about something Spanish in honour of our guest Lady Goodman, Mercedes? Oh, she's gone.
Oh, and where's Sir Sidney?
I think they just popped out for cigars. Nigel won't let them smoke when Elizabeth's in the room.
Oh, yeah, well, very sensible.
Yes, I told them about that as well.
Didn't you once tell me you gave a memorable Prince Charming in Bridlington during the war?
I think you may have misheard that, Phil.
No, I'm quite sure.
I remember what a busy time the 60s were for me, too, with a young family.
Oh, these men, they never seem to understand, do they?
I don't think they even know.
No. I know, Mummy. How about something from Gilbert and Sullivan? You've definitely performed in theirs. I've seen all those ancient black and white photographs of you in Japanese costume.
Not that ancient, darling. Sorry. I did have several triumphs in the Mikado.
Oh, well, that sounds splendid. I'm sure we'd all love to see your yum-yum, Julia.
Phil!
Oh, no, I really couldn't possibly perform without accompaniment, you see.
Well, that's all right. I could accompany you.
Oh, go on, Julia.
Yes, go on, Mummy.
All right. Very well.
What would you like to sing? What,
do you know The Sun Whose Rays?
Oh, yes, of course. Just a second. The music's here already.
Oh, is it?
Now then.
Yes, that'll do fine.
Right.
See me, Mr. Woolley?
No, I thought you wanted to see me.
No. But since you're here, we could talk about your plans for next week.
Next week?
Mm. George's retirement party on Tuesday, for example.
Oh.
Have you got him a present yet, or do you want me to sort something out?
No. I'm sure I'll think of something.
How about all those files you wanted me to go through with you?
What? Oh, those. You needn't worry about them. I've sorted most of them out.
Oh, have you?
Yeah. They were nearly all out of date anyway.
Are you sure?
Hmm. Some of them went back nearly 40 years. Caroline, how would you feel if Grey Gables lost control of its chute?
Oh, it's not going to come to that, is it, Mr. Woolley?
It looks like it.
I thought there was a chance you might still find a new keeper before the season starts.
Oh, that's not very likely now, I'm afraid. It's too late. All the best ones are booked up.
Oh, excuse me a minute. Hello, Caroline Pemberton. Sir Sidney, how nice to hear from you. Yes, of course. No, he's here with me now. It's for you.
Oh, thank you. Good morning, Sir Sidney. How are you? Very well, thanks. No, 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 I'm fully recovered now. It was just a scare. Oh, she's very well, thank you. And how's your lovely wife? Oh, good. What? No, I haven't heard about that. A residential block. Yes, that would hit us hard. We do rely on them for a lot of our custom. Well, they are family in a way, so yes, it would be unfortunate. Excuse me a moment, Sir Sidney. I'll just ask Caroline if she knows anything about it. Have you heard this rumour?
What rumour?
Nigel and Elizabeth are going ahead with plans to build a residential block at Lower Loxley.
But that's not what they told me.
Nigel, over here on the terrace.
I didn't think you were up yet.
I just had breakfast. Fresh fruit and Greek yoghurt. It was delicious.
Was the yoghurt unpasteurised?
Of course not.
You can't be too careful.
I know. You are sweet, the way you care for me.
Sometimes I think I'm just turning into my mother. Fussing all the time.
Why were you up so early?
Oh, I had to see off Camilla and James.
Oh, dear. They must think I'm ever so rude, not saying goodbye.
They understand. Well, you're sleeping for three.
Actually, they seemed a bit subdued last night, I thought.
Yes, they were a bit. I think Camilla's upset about her cat going missing.
Poor thing.
The worst of it is, it was called the Yum Yum.
No! Julia's performance must have been even more unbearable for her.
Well, none of us knew. I'm sure Mummy wouldn't have done it if she had.
Of course not.
Never mind, I'm sure she'll turn up. Oh, can I have some of your tea?
It's not very hot.
I just need something to drink. I think I've got a headache coming up.
Morning, Elizabeth.
Good morning, Julia.
Oh, Nigel, you're looking a bit peaky.
Too much to drink, I'm afraid.
Yes, it was a lovely party, wasn't it? Thank you both so much.
Yes, it was fun. Although I'm sorry to hear about Yum Yum.
What did you say?
Camilla's cat.
What?
Oh, never mind. We're just glad you enjoyed yourself.
Oh, yes, I did. I think it went off splendidly. There were one or two moments when people could have been more tactful when they were talking to Lewis. He's hardly a builder, is he?
I think my father was being playful. Sorry.
I think I'm going to have to get a couple of paracetamol. This headache's starting to take off.
Well, you do look tired, darling.
Yes, I am a bit. It was 2 o'clock in the morning when the last person left.
Well, yes, I feel rather tired too, and I think I'll just have a quiet day in my room. And I hope there won't be any disturbances like that fire alarm yesterday.
There's nothing planned.
Well, I'm going up there now, and I'll see you both later.
I wonder where Lewis stayed last night. Did you see him go?
Oh, yes. But not until he'd drunk half a bottle of our single malt. And everyone else, including Mummy, had gone to bed.
Well, who had the other half?
Not me, I can assure you. Actually, it was quite interesting. Well, the whiskey made him rather talkative.
Good morning.
Oh, hi, Caroline.
Good morning, Caroline. This is an unexpected pleasure.
Not for me, I'm afraid.
I'm sorry.
I hear that you've decided to go ahead with building a residential block. A decision which, quite frankly, left me completely flabbergasted.
But it's not true.
Well, I sincerely hope not. Because I did rather think we'd settled this a couple of weeks ago.
Well, we did.
When we talked about that new conference centre at Atherton Lodge.
Yes.
I thought we'd agreed you'd keep me up to date about any change of plans.
Of course we would. And we know how much it would affect your business.
Oh, quite. So this rumour's not true, then?
It certainly is not.
Oh, thank goodness for that. I must say, I did think it rather odd to hear it through the grapevine like that. Not like you two at all.
So who told you?
Actually, it was Sir Sidney Goodman told Mr. Woolley.
Was it really?
It was described to him as a fabulous new wing.
That phrase sounds strangely familiar.
And guess who was sitting next to Sir Sidney at the dinner party?
Mummy.
Julia.
Off you go.
Okay, that's the lamb done. Honestly, Jenny's students, you think they haven't a brain cell between them sometimes?
Oh, don't be too hard on them, darling. They're still learning.
And the sooner they find out you don't get anywhere in farming without hard work and initiative, the better.
Oh, I'm sure they know that.
And I'm not sure they do, Jenny. Doesn't seem to be something you can teach youngsters today.
Well, Debbie thinks highly of them.
Too highly, I'd say. I don't think she's taking a firm enough hand with them.
She's been incredibly busy. She can't look after them all the time.
Yeah, but that's not a good enough excuse. We're all under pressure here. And yet I found one of them, just sitting on a fence chewing gum this morning.
Oh, I expect there was a reason.
I don't want reasons. I want work. We're paying them good money. Debbie's got to keep them in line.
Well, actually, darling, I'm rather worried about Debbie.
Yeah, well, so am I. She's been avoiding me for the last couple of days.
Well, I'm not surprised.
Why's that?
Well, I think she feels you don't always appreciate what she does, and... Well, sometimes you take her for granted.
Oh, for heaven's sake, what is she going on about?
She was quite upset, actually.
Was she?
Yes.
Well, perhaps you'd better tell her that if she wants to get on in the world, she can't afford to be that sensitive. Oh, here comes Jack. This should be interesting.
Brian, are you listening to me?
No, not now, Jenny.
Oh, really?
If I were a betting man, I'd put a large wager on my being the master of both shoots by the end of the day.
You will go easy on him, won't you?
Yeah, of course I will. Good morning, Jack.
Morning, Brian. Morning, Jennifer.
Hello, Jack.
If you'll excuse us, Jennifer, I've gone to talk to Brian about the shoot.
Right, well, let's go into my office, shall we?
There you are, Mummy. What are you doing on the stairs with a cucumber?
It's for my eyes. They're feeling rather tired. I'm going to my room to lie down.
I've got a bone to pick with you.
Well, could we talk about it later?
No, I want to talk about it now. I'm very angry.
Why? Whatever's happened?
Lizzie and I have just been talking to Caroline. She's very angry too.
What's that got to do with me?
You've been spreading rumours, haven't you?
Oh, don't be absurd, Nigel. I never spread rumours.
Then why were you telling Sir Sidney last night that we're going residential?
Oh, who's that?
Yes, that. What exactly made you tell him that we're having a fabulous new wing built?
Because it's true, isn't it? What's wrong with telling people?
People? Who else have you been talking to?
I may have mentioned it to one or two others.
Mummy, I don't think you realise how important this is.
I don't think we should talk to each other like this on the first floor landing. It gives the wrong impression to the staff and the guests.
For goodness sake, Mummy, you very nearly ruined our relationship with Grey Gables.
Try to keep calm, Nigel.
I am keeping calm. Fortunately for you, we were able to convince Caroline that we weren't doing the dirty on her.
Then what's the problem? Let's talk about this later when you're in a more reasonable mood.
We're going to talk about this now. Look, Lizzie and I have decided that we're not building a residential block at Lower Loxley, and that is final. Do you understand?
You must discuss this with Lewis. We both think it makes perfect business sense.
It isn't up to you and Lewis.
Nigel!
But Lizzie and I make the business decisions, not you two.
Don't you think this is a bit public for an argument, Nigel?
Don't start, Lizzie.
There you are, Nigel. I told you. And now, if you'll excuse me, I need to go to my room. I'm starting to get a headache.
But, Mummy!
Let her go, Nigel.
At least my headache's gone now, after shouting at her.
It must have been very therapeutic. Look, there's some coffee downstairs. Come on, she's gone now.
Sometimes I really wish she had.
Oh, Nigel.
What really gets me is how much more willing she is to listen to Lewis than she is to us.
Oh, well, he's got something we haven't.
What's that, apart from a degree in architecture?
She's smitten with him. Last night she was hanging on his every word.
But he's trying to convince her that we should do something that would change this house forever.
Well, perhaps you'll end up having to defend the family honour.
Oh, don't joke about it, please. I just don't see why his opinion is so much more important to her than mine.
I think it's called love. That's why I still value your opinion more than anyone else's. So long as it's the same as mine.
Couldn't we continue with the caretaker arrangement, but pay you an additional management fee until we find a new keeper?
I'm sorry, Jack. I thought we'd already had this conversation.
Well, yes, we have, I suppose, but I'm sure we could make it work.
No, I really don't think so. I mean, these caretaker arrangements are all very well in the short term. In the long term, it looks like weakness rather than strength. People will go elsewhere.
Do you think so?
Well, believe me, I do. We'd both suffer enormously. Now, I can foresee at least one shoot having to close down.
Oh, we couldn't have that.
Well, if there's any other way around it, I'd love to help you, but...
So, what do you propose?
I propose a complete amalgamation of the Grey Gables and Home Farm shoots with immediate effect for at least the next 2 years.
Oh, but that seems rather a long term. Couldn't we discuss a shorter contract?
I'm afraid not, Jack. It's the only way to make it a viable business proposition.
It seems such a drastic step.
Well, not really. It's the only step that makes any sense, I'm afraid.
People like the fact that we're a long-established independent shoot.
I mean, that may have been true in the past, Jack, but things change. It's a hard world out there. Can't afford to have instability at the heart of our operation. Our reputations would plummet.
Oh, yes, but Greg's been doing so well. Even George says so.
Well, you may not see it, Jack, but Greg is finding it difficult to cope. Whereas if we amalgamate, it reduces the paperwork. We might get a trainee in to work alongside William. Who knows?
Yes, I suppose you're right. Haven't any choice, really, have I?
No, not if you want to safeguard the future of both our shoots.
Very well.
Good. Good. I'll get my lawyers to sort out a contract. They'll be in touch early next week.
Helen?
Would you two like a pot of tea?
Jack?
No, thank you.
Or would you rather have something stronger?
Well, it's very nice of you, but I have to get off.
Are you sure?
Oh, yes. Perhaps some other time, but I promised Peggy we'd go into Borchester. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Jack.
Bye. Oh, do you think he's all right? He looks as though he might burst into tears.
Yeah, he'll be fine. I've got it at last, Jenny. Control of the Grey Gables shoot. Now we can really do business.
The Archers was written by Paul Broderick and the agricultural story editor was Graham Harvey. It was directed in our Pebble Mill studios by Alec Reed and the editor is Vanessa Whitburn.